Louis asked me a minute ago, he said, Pastor, have you ever preached? I mentioned this morning I have a two-part message. And he said, you ever had a three-part message? I said, why? He said, well, I just wondered if we'd ever have to come back on Monday to hear the third part. I was thinking after he asked me that, I said, I may try that come sometime, see how many people come back on Monday to hear the third part. I don't know if anybody's here tonight because you wanted to hear the second part after you heard the first part, but I'm glad you're here tonight. This morning I preached on New Year's resolutions. And I made the statement, everybody ought to have some. You don't have to call them a resolution, call them a goal. Call them an objective, call them something that you want to improve on in your life. Call them something you want to make better in your life, to change. And I mentioned that I believe New Year's resolutions are biblical. Noah had a resolution that he worked on for a long time. His goal was to get that boat built. Moses had a resolution that he worked on a long time to get God's people to the promised land. David had a goal to build the temple. He didn't get to do it, but he got to get it ready for Solomon. Nehemiah had a goal, rebuild the walls. Jesus had a goal to do the will of his Father, to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul had a goal. We read from Philippians chapter 3, where he pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And I used those verses from Philippians to preach my message this morning and said, as you set your goal, as you set your resolution for 2019, the three things that Paul mentioned in those verses are what we need to do to set goals that would honor God in our life. We need to first of all realize that we haven't arrived. He said, I haven't apprehended yet. I'm not where God wants me to be. And then he said, I got a picture in my mind where he wants me to be. I've got that mark. I've got that prize out before me. And then he says, I have a desire to achieve it. And that desire came in Paul's case and came from all those guys that I mentioned. And I'm not being disrespectful when I call Jesus a guy, but they came from all those men and Jesus as well because they had a desire to please God. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do my Father's will. And on three different occasions, the Heavenly Father spoke from heaven about his Son and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so we ought to have a desire to get better, to do something in our life in 2019 that would please God. That ought to be behind everything that we do. Now, as I've studied Noah and Moses and David and Nehemiah and Jesus and Paul and others who have accomplished their goal, who have set out to do something and done it, there are some things that are common among their efforts, some principles that have surfaced, things that these people have done that have contributed to the success, things that these people have done that allowed them to capture or to accomplish what God set them about to do. And tonight, I'm going to share six of those principles. There's probably more than six. I mean, I often have people, after I preach a sermon, come out and say, hey, you could have added another point. And so if you do that tonight, feel free to share that point with me. Next time I preach this message, I may have 7 points or more. So there's probably more principles, and I'm not giving them to you tonight in any order, okay? All of them apply. But I think if we put these principles to work in our life, it'll help us meet our goals, our resolutions, again, whatever you want to call them, for 2019. And my hope tonight is they'll help you, and they'll help me. I want to be better for God in 2019 than I was in 2018. I want to end 2019 more like Jesus than I am now. And so I give you these six things tonight for you to consider. So here we go. Number one, I mentioned this morning in my message, hit singles, not home runs. Progress doesn't come usually in big steps, but it comes in little steps. We don't succeed overnight. We succeed little by little over the course of days, months, and years. In our text tonight from the book of Exodus, God was talking to his people. And he says, I'm going to give you this land. I've promised it. I promise it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I promised it to everybody in between, and I'm getting ready to give it to you. And I'm going to put the fear of you into the people that live there now. And he says, I'm going to send hornets, and I'm going to drive the people out from the land that's yours. And he said this, I won't drive them out in a year. Now, what he was saying is, I'm not going to do it immediately. I'm not going to do it overnight. I'm not going to do it in a month. I'm not even going to do it in a year. If I drove them out in a year, the land would be overtaken with weeds. It'd be overtaken with animals. I'm going to drive them out little by little so that you can increase in number and have the number of people that's required to take care of the land as I drive those people out. That's the way God works all the time, little by little. He could have spoke the world into existence in a second, but he took 6 days. Noah, he worked on the ark for 100 years. 100 years on the same project. Moses, it took 40 years to get God's people to the promised land. Nehemiah took 52 days to rebuild the wall. None of them did it overnight. They did it little by little, a day at a time, a year at a time, a plank at a time in Noah's case, a mile at a time in Moses' case, a brick at a time in Nehemiah's case. You and I will succeed the same way. We're not going to get it done immediately. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen little by little. Again, I put two chairs over here to mark our starting point as a Christian and the place where God wants us to be. And we're going to we make that journey one step at a time. We make that journey one event at a time. We make that journey little by little. That's true in our Christian life. That's true in our family life. If we're going to be a better husband, if we're going to be a better wife, it's going to happen one situation at a time, one interaction at a time. Brother Clyde really helped me this morning. He told Patty a story about a pastor that was always mentioning his children, and his wife didn't like it at all and talked to him about it. And she said, we're going to do something. Every time you mention one of the kids' names, you got to give them $10. He said, okay, I'm up to that challenge. Well, he forgot what he said. And after the end of one sermon, his wife came up to him, hey, you owe Billy $100, you owe Sally $40, and you owe Sammy $20. He said, I can't afford this. She said, well, we better quit mentioning their name. And he told Patty, I mentioned Patty's one name this morning in my sermon. One time. And he said, you ought to charge him $100 every time he mentions your name. Amen. See, I've already $200 in the hole tonight, right? Little by little, if we're going to be a better husband, we do it a step at a time. If you're going to be a better wife, a step at a time. If you're going to be a better Christian, a step at a time. If we're going to be a better church, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen a little, one Sunday at a time, one service at a time, one event at a time. Set your expectations high. I mean, press toward that mark, but don't expect to get there overnight. If you expect to get there overnight, you're going to get discouraged and you're going to quit. So we sometimes sing that little chorus, little by little, inch by inch, by the yard it's hard, by the inch it's a cinch, never stare up the stairs, just step up the steps, little by little, inch by inch. Not very good singing, but good theology. That's how God wants us to operate, a little bit at a time. Number two, track your progress. Noah did it by boards. I don't know if he had a bar chart or something like that and said to Ham, Shem, and Japheth, boys, I figure we're going to have to nail on 8,000 boards. We're going to keep track of it and see how many we do every day. I don't know if Nehemiah did it with bricks when he called all the people together. He said, I think it's going to take us 18,000 bricks to finish this wall, and we're going to keep track of it. I don't know if Moses did it. Of course, Moses, they took a route all the way through the promised land back and forth until everybody body died. That was over 20 because of their disobedience. But they all, in some way or another, measured their progress. Measure yourself. If you set a goal for 2019, measure how much progress you're making. Find out, the only way you're going to know if you're moving forward or standing still is to measure what you accomplish. The only way you're going to know if you're moving forward instead of moving backwards is measure your progress. Look, if you set a goal in 2019 to read the Bible through, and I think that would be a wonderful goal for every Christian to set, to make it through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, all the way through in a year, then count the chapters that you need to read every day and put a little check mark on the calendar when you read that number of chapters. If you get behind for a day, you know you got to read twice as many chapters the next day to get back on track, okay? If you set a goal to be more faithful to church, if you set that as your goal, then keep track. Don't keep track of how many services you come to. Keep track of how many services you miss. Set a goal and say, hey, I'm going to be more faithful in church this year. Last year I had to miss so many services. This year I'm going to miss less than that. So track your progress. Make a little progress every day, a little progress every month, a little progress. Other than the church at Jerusalem, when they added 3,000 souls in one day, most churches grow little by little. A member here, a member there. So, number three, make yourself accountable. Make yourself accountable. Report your progress to somebody else. Get a Bible reading partner. And compare notes. Hey, I'm in the book of Genesis. Well, of course I'm in the book of Genesis. The year just started. I haven't read the book of Genesis yet. I'm also in the book of Matthew because I'm reading a little bit from Genesis and a little bit from the book of Matthew. We'll get you a partner. Say, hey, where are you? How many chapters have you read? Are you on track to make it? Enlist somebody to report to. Let them be your drill sergeant. I mean, get somebody that can yell at you and you still love them after they get through yelling at you. I tried this with somebody losing weight one time. And I confessed to this person, hey, I really blew it today. I just really blew it. I must have ate a pound of chocolate candy. And you remember Gomer Pyle? How many of you remember Gomer Pyle? Sergeant Carter getting in his face. That's what this guy did to me. You ate a pound of chocolate? What's the matter with you? Don't you know that's going to destroy your diet? He and I parted as friends. I knew he was right, and I still love him. I mean, he's in the room tonight. If don't look around, because he's not going to give you any indication it was him. But I didn't like it. I knew he was telling the truth, but I didn't entrust him anymore with being my accountability partner. I want somebody more like my mother used to do. Oh, honey, don't worry about it. You can make up for it tomorrow. Everybody messes up now and then. Just do better tomorrow. Or find somebody that's going to be an encourager. Somebody that will say, hey, I've been there. I may not have eaten a pound of chocolate at one setting, but I've been there. Here's what I try to do when I mess up like that. So you try that. So make yourself accountable. Number four, don't get satisfied. Keep looking ahead. Don't look back. When we look back, we're tempted to say, hey, look how far I've come. Look how far I've come. I'm a better Christian. I'm a better husband. We have a better church. I mean, looking back makes us feel pretty good. And we're happy with the progress we've made, but we got to be careful that we don't get too satisfied. Because if we get too satisfied, here's what will happen. We'll say, well, I made it. I've arrived. And we'll kill future progress. If you make progress, praise God. but celebrate on the run. Celebrate by striving to meet your next objective. Celebrate by celebrate as you're reaching forth for the next plateau in your journey. Number five, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Sometimes you'll stand still. Sometimes you'll go backward. And again, as I mentioned this morning, don't fixate on the finish line. If you fixate on the finish line, you'll say, man, I'll never make it. I mean, you sat down to read the Bible. If you look at the whole book and say, I'll never make it through this book, there's too many chapters. But if I fixate on, I only have to read 5-6 chapters a day. Now, anybody can read 5 or 6 chapters a day. If you say tonight, hey, Pastor, I am too busy to read 6 chapters of the Bible tomorrow, then I'm going to tell you, you're too busy. You're too busy. You need to take some things out of your schedule. Everybody ought to have time to read 5 or 6 chapters from the Bible. And if you read 5 or 6 chapters of the day a day, you'll make it through the Bible in a year. So just fixate, concentrate on the next step. What do I have to do to do what I need to do today so that I can make it by the end of the year? Don't worry about what's going to, and don't fixate and say, well, for the month I've got to do this, for the week I've got to do this, for the year I've got to do this. Just think about, what do I got to do today? What must I do today to meet this goal, to achieve this objective? To attain this resolution that I've made. And number 6, keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. Where are you trying to get to? We read the verse from Proverbs this morning. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I can remember my dad telling me often, and I don't know if it was original with him or if he got it from somebody else. He said, if you never shoot for anything, you'll always be a success, but you'll fail. It's better to shoot for the moon and miss a little bit than to not shoot at anything at all. And again, I don't know if that was an original thought. He wasn't much of a philosopher, so he probably picked it up from somebody else. But he always says, you always ought to have a goal out in front of you. You always ought to have something that you want to achieve. And again, everything that we set as a goal, everything as we set as an objective, everything we set as a destination, a mark, a prize, whatever you want to call it, ought to be something that pleases God, that pleases Him. That's what the Christian life is all about, trying to please our Heavenly Father. Not doing our will, but doing His will. And again, His will for every single person is they come to know Jesus as their Savior. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He died on the cross and paid for every person's sin. There's not one person excluded from the price that was paid at Calvary. And if you're here tonight and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I'll quickly remind you, you're a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a penalty for that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death, being separated from God. That's the wage of sin. Just like in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit that they weren't supposed to, God had to kick them out from the garden because of their disobedience. God, when we sin, separates Himself from us. And there's nothing that we can do to fix it. Absolutely nothing. But what we could not do for ourselves, God did for us. Because He loved us so much, even when we were sinners. Romans 5:8 says, but He commendeth or proved His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. And the Bible says that if we'll call upon Him, if we'll call upon Him, He'll save us. If you're here tonight and you've never called upon Jesus, I Again, I can't think of a better Sunday than the first Sunday in 2019 to make that decision and ask Jesus to be your Savior. I guarantee you, regardless of what the world says, you make that decision and you'll never, ever regret it. Never, never, never. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement it is to us. And I pray tonight, I pray if there is just one here tonight that's never received Jesus as their Savior, that Holy Spirit, you would speak to their heart. You would help them see their sin. You would help them see the penalty for that sin, and you would help them see the price that Jesus paid for it on Calvary. And I pray that you'd help them come to you, call out to you tonight, and ask you to be their Savior. They'll do that. You'll answer. You'll save them. You'll forgive them their sin. You'll wipe all their sin away. You'll justify them. You'll make them just as if they never sinned. And you'll give them a home in heaven because you make them one of your children. So again, if there's just one here tonight that hasn't done that, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help them do that tonight. Then I pray for the many Christians that are here tonight. Help us to want to be more for you in 2019. Help us to want to be more like Jesus. Help us to want to be more pleasing to you. Help us to set some goals, some objectives, some prizes, some marks that we strive for this year. And then, Father, help us to achieve them. I pray you bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.